The process to set federal fishing policy in the North Pacific relies on public input and sound science. That was the message that came out of a recent panel discussion held in Seattle. KDLG's Mike Mason was there and has the story.
The North Pacific Fisheries Management Council is one of eight such councils set up across the country to oversee federal fisheries. The council process was recently examined in depth during a panel discussion held in Seattle as part of last month's Pacific Marine Expo trade show. One of the participants in last month's discussion was Merrick Burden. He's the executive director of the Marine Conservation Alliance. While it's not unique among resource management organizations, the regional fisheries management councils, including the North Council, give great weight to the input of the public. Burden says that public input takes several shapes.
We have meetings that are held at several different locations throughout the course of the year in the affected region. We have the opportunity for the public to engage with decision makers on several fronts. In other words, you have direct access to council members if you go to a council meeting.
Despite the efforts taken together and consider public comments and input, the existing council process has come under criticism that they are dominated by commercial fishing interests, which in turn leads to decisions favorable to commercial fishing entities. During his presentation, Burden referenced a Marine Conservation Alliance Commission study a couple of years ago from the Institute of the North. It was an evaluation of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council's voting record on conservation issues. Burden says it specifically examined whether voting decisions were made based on financial interest or conservation interest between 1994 and 2006.
The study tallied the votes and noted amendments where they were introduced by other council members, then cross-checked that voting history with the financial disclosure statements of the Fishery Management Council members. They then also compared those to the SSC recommendations about, in particular, tax setting or whatnot, and whether the North Pacific Council followed those recommendations. The two points that I pulled out of this that I think are most important are, one, that each action that was examined as part of this study imposed constraints on the fishery for purposes of conservation. Secondly, over the course of the review time period, the North Pacific Council had not ever deviated from the SSC's recommended overfishing level.
Another of the participants in last month's panel discussion was Washington State-based fisheries consultant Steve Miner. He's the managing partner for the firm Waterfront Associates. He claims there are three ingredients that make the North Council work: trust among the stakeholders, collaboration among stakeholders, and the use of objective science throughout the process.
The seafood industry and coastal communities of the North Pacific, Aleutian Islands, and the Bering Sea have enjoyed a decade of unparalleled achievement under this process. We've developed what people call the Alaska model, and up until a few years ago, the Alaska model, the way we were doing things, was held up around the world as the example of how to achieve sustainable fisheries.
Miner claims that some recent developments indicate that there is no longer widespread collaboration among stakeholders, which can in turn make the North Council process less effective.
I've asked myself a lot over the last few weeks what's created this general climate of anxiousness and discontent, and I want to suggest this, that the North Pacific Council process has a history based on trust, and trust requires both stakeholder collaboration and the use of objective science. Lose one of those things and you destabilize the process. Lose both and you begin to completely undermine it.
Miner says the trust and collaboration that he says makes the council process work is being impacted by a lack of trust among some stakeholders in the science used to make decisions.
Many stakeholders believe that the Stellar Sea Lion controversy, which has cost the seafood industry and coastal communities more than 700 jobs and $60 million in revenues, is the result in part of science that has been manipulated to support a predetermined political outcome. Whether it's true or not, that perception exists right now in our process. If science becomes suspect, trust begins to erode, and without mutual trust, collaboration begins to disappear.
The North Council just recently wrapped up their December meeting in Anchorage. The next meeting will be held from January the 30th through February the 7th in Seattle. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.